Jewish audio on Chabad.org.
The 23rd Shir of Rambam. Once again, we study the fifth mitzvah of the Torah, which the Rambam says is to daven, to pray. And the Rambam demonstrates that it is min ha-Torah, based on the words of the Sifri, the words of our sages, that the concept of avoda, laborious efforts in the Torah, in the scripture itself, is a reference to prayer. Yesterday we talked about the Ramban, Nachmanides' opposition to this notion, and the Ramban demonstrates in vivid color how prayer is called a rabbinic injunction. He talks about the fact that there was this notion of a balkeri, a person who is in a state of ritual impurity because of his body emitting certain fluids, that the sages ordained that a person like that should not recite words of prayer. And he says the Gemara is very clear there. It says the mitzvah of reading the Shema must go on. It's a biblical mitzvah. It's not an option. The mitzvah of reciting Berachat HaMazon must go on. It's a biblical mitzvah. You eat, you're satiated, you have to say Berachat HaMazon. But the mitzvah of prayer, he says, that's rabbinic. So he says, the Gemara says clearly it's rabbinic. So how could it even be a question? He talks about the statement in the Gemara, which in Masechet Sukkah, which draws a distinction between the mitzvah of lulav and etrog, and says that's a biblical mitzvah, whereas prayer is only a rabbinic mitzvah. He talks about the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, that he said that he wouldn't interrupt his Torah study for prayer, because prayer is only rabbinic. And then so, Ramban challenges the Rambam and says this cannot be one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. So yesterday I shared with you the response to the Ramban, to Nachmanides, that was authored by Rabbi Yitzchak de Leon in his compilation Megillat Esther, which has absolutely nothing to do with Purim, at least to the best of my knowledge. I don't know why it's called Megillat Esther, but that's what the name of his book is called. So today I want to share with you two other responses, the response of the Lev Sameach and the response of a book known as Kinat Sofrim. So the Lev Sameach, in a very similar fashion to the writings of the Megillat Esther, he says, one second, he says, the Nachmanides, he says, we owe a great debt of thanks to Nachmanides, for he has blown the cover and clarified for us the words of the Rambam. He says, once we have the words of Nachmanides, he says, now it's beautiful to take a look at the beginning of Hilchat Tefillah, the laws of prayer in Mishneh Torah, and we see that the Rambam there in Halacha Beis, he talks about the difference between principal prayer, Ikar HaTefillah, and between the notion of the liturgy of prayer, the specific arrangement, the format of prayer, the time of prayer. He says, this is all something that's rabbinic. The Rambam says that. So the Lev Sameach says, thank you, Ramban. Now you helped us understand that. Now you help us appreciate the Rambam's drawing a distinction between the root of prayer and between the particulars of prayer. Now that's the first statement that Lev Sameach makes, and he says what the Ramban's really doing is highlighting the fact that there seems to be a contradiction in the writings of our sages. That the Sifri says mitzvah of prayer is a mitzvah. The Rambam's quoting the Sifri, Ula'avdo, the words of the Torah, Ula'avdo, should serve me, means to pray. And then we have the Gemaras in Brachas and in Sukkah that are telling us that prayer is only rabbinic. So he says the Rambam brilliantly illustrates how the words of our sages are not a contradiction. That when we talk about principal prayer, the idea that one must pray every day, that's biblical. And we talk about the specifics of davening, this is going to be rabbinic. Now, the Lev Sameach notes later on, I'm not going in perfect order, but later on he notes that the Maharik, in his writings of Kesef Mishnah, also approach the Ramban in the same way and say that the difference is between whether the format of prayer is rabbinic, but prayer itself is biblical, and that's the opinion of the Rambam, and that's how he defends the Rambam. But Lev Sameach himself is not satisfied with this. He says that the truth is that there is a very strong question that Ramban poses from the Gemara that seems to say that if a person did not immerse in the mikveh, that days can go by without him being obligated to pray. And I think that part of the question is that the syntax of Birchat HaMazon, the actual verbiage of Birchat HaMazon as we have it, was also arranged by the sages. It's true that it says Moshe Tikein Birchat Hazon, that Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara says in Masechet Brachot, he is the one who formulated the first blessing of Birchat Hazon, Yehoshua, Noda, the second blessing, David and Shlomo, the third. But if you learn the Gemara there and the commentaries on the Gemara, it's impossible to suggest that the exact verbiage that we say today is the exact same verbiage that Moshe Rabbeinu made then. Simply stated, what did the people do until Yehoshua and David formulated the third bracha? And anyway, in David HaMelech's time, it wasn't the same as in Shlomo HaMelech's time. And what did they do when Moshe Rabbeinu introduced the Inyan of Birchat HaMazon? The Gemara seems to talk about four components of Birchat HaMazon. So if you read the Gemara and its commentaries carefully, you see that the notion of Birchat HaMazon is indeed biblical. The general format of the first blessing is Mosaic, but the actual verbiage as we have it is also from the rabbis. So an implicit question I think that we have to deal with here is that it's not so simple to just dismiss this idea of Birchat HaMazon and say, oh, that is biblical and prayer is rabbinic. One could argue that the liturgy of Birchat HaMazon is also rabbinic. Kriya Shmanat, Birchat HaMazon, yes. So the Leif Sameach explains this very interestingly. He says, if you look at the Gemara, there are two ways to understand the Gemara. And the Ramban's way, Nachmanides' way of understanding the Gemara, actually leads you to the conclusion that prayer is not biblical. He said, that's not Ramban, that's not Maimonides' problem. Maimonides understood the Gemara differently. They both read the Gemara, they both understood the pshat, the meaning of the Gemara in different ways. And he says, the Gemara says you can't daven until you immerse. So one way of understanding is that you can't pray until you immerse. You go, several days can go by and you're not going to be able to pray. That's one way. That's how the Ramban understood the Gemara. And that's why Ramban said, ha, prayer is obviously not biblical. He says the Rambam's way of understanding the Gemara is that you cannot pray until you go immerse, which means you won't pray now, so pray in the afternoon. Birchat HaMazon, you have to pray within a time of the eating a meal. So if I'm not going to be able to immerse in the mikveh for another 6 hours, I'll never fulfill the mitzvah of Birchat HaMazon. And that is a biblical mitzvah. But the notion of prayer, where the times of prayer are certainly rabbinic. So you have to daven min haTorah, yes. If it didn't daven by virtue of one time when the rabbi said I was supposed to daven because there was a takana, there was an injunction of Ezra that one should immerse before praying. So he says, so then that means he shouldn't pray now. He should pray later today. But the Gemara doesn't say you wait several days. That's my Nachmanides' reading of the Gemara. That's the way Ramban understood the Gemara. But that is not necessarily the way the Gemara has to be understood and appreciated. Now, according to the words of Leif Sameach, we're now adding another rung, another layer in appreciating the dispute between Rambam and Ramban, Maimonides and Nachmanides, whether this is a mitzvah or not. Now it comes to light that we're actually having a dispute in how to understand the simple Gemara that talks about the distinction between Birchat HaMazon and between the mitzvah of prayer. And Leif Sameach says that the simplistic approach of the Maharik in Kesef Mishnah is not sufficient, which by extension would mean that the Megillas Esther's reason is also not sufficient, and that you need to have this added layer. I'm being synoptic. The Leif Sameach is lengthy, but that's the basic point. Now, there is another detail in this dispute, which I would like to share with you, and that's from the book which is known as Kinat Sofrim. Kinat Sofrim says, one of the proofs, one of the things that Ramban says, is that the words of the Sifri should not be taken literally, as if the sages said it was a biblical mitzvah. Yes, it's true. The Sifri says, Ula avdo zo tfila, that if you serve Hashem, the Torah is saying, that means prayer. He says, okay, so that's not really a mitzvah. Oh, how is it not a mitzvah, Ramban? What do you mean? It says, the Sifri is saying, that's the meaning of the word. So Nachmanides says, that's an asmachta. That's merely buttressing the rabbinic mitzvah, as we explained in yesterday's shir. So the Kinat Sofrim himself says, he says, Nachmanides himself is not so comfortable with that assertion. Yesterday we learned the Megillas Esther. He says to the Ramban, how do you know? How could you make such a blanket statement, say, oh, the words of the Sifri, it's not to be understood literally that this is a biblical mitzvah. It should be understood that this is merely an asmachta, that the rabbis gave us a mitzvah to daven, and they based that mitzvah on the verbiage of the Torah. They read into the Torah. They were able to gain an appreciation from the words of the Torah, but not that the Torah necessitates this. So the Megillas Esther said, like, where's your proof? How do you make a compelling statement like that and say the Rambam is wrong in stating that this is a biblical mitzvah. In fact, it must be a rabbinic mitzvah. Aye, but do we have a sifri? The Gemara said, oh, is that that's an asmachta. So Megillas Esther says, who says? The Kenat Sofer adds something very interesting. He says, I want to tell you that Ramban himself knows there's a weakness in that argument. Kvar hirgish hu atzmo b'chulshat d'zosa tshuva. And therefore, Nachmanides goes to lengths to try to say like this. Look, there is a biblical mitzvah of prayer, but the biblical mitzvah of prayer is connected to the idea of eight tzara, a time of great danger, a time when we're dealing with extenuating circumstances. Things are bad. So if things are really bad, then it's a biblical mitzvah to daven. But if things aren't really bad, then you don't have to daven. So the Kina Sofram says, one second, let's try to stop and understand it a minute. Are you're saying then that there is an idea, a concept of prayer from the Torah, but it's only when things are terrible, that's when the concept of prayer comes in. He says, if you look at the Torah itself, the stories in the Torah itself say otherwise. How so? He says, first of all, well, the Yam Suf was indeed a time of tzara. It was the wrong thing to do because they didn't pray at the time when they were standing at the Reed Sea. They weren't praying because there was the right mitzvah to do. They were praying because they just habitually fell into it. Rashi explains that the problem with praying at the Kriyat Yam Suf was tofsu umnas avotam. He quotes our sages. They simply reached for the typical thing to do. Oh, what do we do now? We're supposed to pray. That's what Jews do. They weren't serious about it. They didn't mean it. Why weren't they serious about it? And how do you know they didn't mean it? Because God said everything's going to be fine. So if you believe that God could take care of everything, and God said everything's going to be fine, what's the problem? We don't always have this guarantee. Don't you worry, everything's going to be fine. So we have a notion, a mitzvah in the Torah that we're supposed to pray. But you're bringing up that point. That's very compelling point they're bringing up, that they did what their ancestors did. When did their ancestors pray? So Kina Sofram says, well, take a look, read the story. We have examples, for example, that Avram Avinu prays. When does he pray? When Avimelech asks him to pray on his behalf. It's not an Eitzara. It's not a bad time for Avram Avinu. Somebody asked him to pray for him. So Avram prays. So Avram is praying. Is that a biblical mitzvah? It's biblical precedent for the concept of prayer. And the biblical precedent for the concept of prayer of Avram Avinu is not a time of a war, a time of some kind of horrific situation. He says, we find that Yitzchak Avinu prayed for children. It says that they were praying. Rivka was praying. He was praying. So we see that there's this idea of prayer. Yaakov Avinu was praying. He says, V'nosam li lechem lechel lebeged lilbash, which Rashi says, obviously, is not just a jacket and a loaf of bread, but it's something very, very powerful. It means all of the needs that one has. From these things, we can see that the concept of prayer is asking for my needs. Asking for my needs does not mean only extenuating circumstances. And the Kina Sofram further says, how will you know when it's called tzaras? Everybody has a different definition of tzara, of narrow straits, of being squeezed. It's like pain. What is pain? One person will say, pain. Pain is when you break a bone. That's pain. Another person, you get a paper cut, that's pain. So how will this mitzvah work? When are you obligated? It depends on who you are and what your ability to withstand pain is, whether or not you're biblically obligated or not biblically obligated. He says, what if I get up in the morning and I'm not sure how my day is going to go? Is that pain? Is that an eis tzara? When is it real tzaras? When I'm getting thrown out of my house? Or when I'm just worried about paying the mortgage next week? So he says, therefore, clearly the idea of prayer, you cannot simply leave it only to an eis tzara and relegate the words of the sefer. You say, well, it's an asmachta. Oh yes, there is a biblical idea of prayer, but it only refers to highly extenuating circumstances. Because once you use terminology like highly extenuating, the question is, who defines highly? Who defines extenuating? Who defines eis tzara? And therefore he says, if it's all rabbinic, then it's all rabbinic. If it's all biblical, then it has to be all biblical. And that's why he said the Kina Sofram draws to his conclusion. He says, clearly our sages understood from the oral tradition that was passed down from Moshe at Sinai that the concept of prayer, the root of prayer, the principle of prayer, the foundation of the notion that you have to make entreaty to God is definitely biblical. That's definitely biblical. The idea of davening three times a day, and that we have an Amida, Shmon Esrei, and we have this format, here's when we start, here's where we finish, we have a minyan, we have a quorum together, and we're going to recite the repetition of the Shmon Esrei. He said, oh, that's all rabbinic. That's indeed rabbinic. But clearly, Ramban saw from and understood from the Sifri, from the words of our sages, that the mitzvah of davening is biblical, and the Kinyan Sofrim says, HaTzedek Ito, he says he's clearly right in this argument, and it's very, very, it's easy to deflect the words of Nachmanides and to explain the Rambam's approach as others have explained it already before him. So that concludes the study of the fifth mitzvah of the Torah for today. We have more study of this and the 23rd shir of Rambam. No, Tarsus Shema biblical. The Rambam says clearly.